Rainey kicks the 1-1. Swung on, hit well. Left center field and deep. Thomas going over in the gap to the track. He looks at the wall. It's gone. Matt Vierling has done it again. A ninth inning homer to put the Phillies on top. 6-5 as Vierling goes deep for the second time tonight. It's his third of the year. And the Phillies...
Matt Vierling, man. You are the man. No, that would be sacrilegious. But nonetheless, there it is. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Happy to be joined by our pal Ben Davis. Fresh back from a little out-of-town jaunt, watching the kids play volleyball, right? Ben, did they do well in the tourney?
They did okay. I think they could have done better, but overall I was pretty happy with the way they performed. Had to get back because she has a lacrosse tournament in Hershey, PA, she and her sister that my wife coaches. So they left this morning, and off they went.
You have four kids, right?
Four, yes. Yep. Yeah, bookend boys, 16, 14, 13, and 7. So,
and they are all, and I'm sure they just have you and your wife running all the time.
That's all we do. We just burn diesel everywhere we go.
One last question before we get into the Phillies.
Yeah.
Because Jody was a sports dad. I was a sports dad watching our kids play. Jody coached his daughter in hoops. I coached my son in hockey a little bit when he was younger before they like got serious about it. Are you the sports dad in the stands who makes noise, or are you the sports dad who sits there and quietly watches?
I sit there and quietly watch. I never say anything to them throughout the course of a game. It's just, I don't feel it's my place. If I feel like I need to mention something after the game, I will go ahead and do that. I think you could have done this better, or I think you did this really well. Keep that up. But I don't think it's in the middle of the games that is the time or the place.
Jody, what about you? When you weren't coaching, when you were just watching?
Yeah, no, I took the direction from my father, who never said anything ever until we got in the car after the game driving on the way home. But I got a question for Ben.
Yes,
how tall are you?
I am 6'5".
You are 6'5".
Yes.
How tall is your 16-year-old son?
He's almost 6'4". He's getting there. So it's actually... he's a left-handed pitcher, first baseman, but it's actually tomorrow he's going to play in the Carpenter Cup in the semifinal and at CBP, and he's actually starting pitching, so it's going to be fun to watch him out on that field. So it'll be a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch.
Was he at the homestand this past week?
He was. Yes, he was. I think he was at a couple games.
You saw him, Jody?
Your broadcasting pals mentioned that they thought that he was now taller than you.
No,
oh
he's
my
not.
God! Look how big Ben's kid is. That kid's about 6'9".
No, he's not there yet. But I have to keep knocking him down a peg. But he keeps creeping up on me. He's like looking me in the eye, like I got you now, Dad. Get easy there. Hold your horses, there, buddy. Not yet.
All right. The Ben Davis family is doing well, and we're delighted. The Phillies are doing well, and we played the Matt Vierling, the second of Matt Vierling's two home runs coming into it. And Jody and I discussed this at the start, and I kind of want your thoughts on it, because when the role players are all doing well, right, when the Stotts and the Vierlings and all these guys are contributing, you know that things are just happening. I don't even know what question I have out of that, except, boy, all those secondary guys are really helping out Rob Thompson and the Phillies right now.
Well, they are, and they need that to happen, because if they don't, then you can isolate the big bombers in the lineup. You can isolate Schwarber and Harper and Castellanos and Hoskins, who's swinging the bat really well right now. You can isolate those guys. So if you're getting production 1 through 9, it...
Oh, geez. You know what? I think that was... I accidentally did that. Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle, get him back. Jody, I literally shifted my position, and I think I knocked the phone off.
Jonesy, we were blaming cell towers.
The Jonesy one was not my fault.
This blame one, ourselves.
I will take full blame for this. I moved, and I pushed my mouse, and when I pushed my mouse, boy, that's a sensitive mouse. All right. I'm sorry. We'll get him back. But to his point, and I think it's a good point, if you have the guys who are, say, 21 through 26 on your roster giving you something, that really, it just gives you so much of a better opportunity.
And we'll go further with Ben when we reestablish contact. Key being bullpen guys. You talked about Stott and Vierling and everybody
else. I'll take Verlander if I can get him.
He's pitching okay for Houston. Could win another Cy Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are ones that you wouldn't think could give as big a contribution. Oh, the bullpen's used every day. Somebody's coming out of that pen every single day and either getting the job done or not getting the job done and grabbing the attention of everybody. That needs to be managed differently and better. And to this point, that's part of what's working for Rob Thompson. The bullpen guys have not blown up on him the way that they did on Joe Girardi.
Well, Ben is back with us. Ben, I'm sorry, that was on me. That was my
fault. No worries. I was like, what the heck happened?
I accidentally pushed the mouse. Anyway, you were saying?
No, I just think that the longer they can keep this lineup going like that, it's going to just help everybody out. I mean, the more length they get out of that lineup, the guys, the Garrett Stubbs hitting the three-run homers in the ninth inning. I mean, these things are, it's been unheralded guys that, you haven't really heard about before, but these guys are really contributing. It's one thing we heard Rob Thompson say, like when Bryson Stott really got hot, he goes, well, these guys bring a lot of energy. It's one thing to bring energy, but it's another thing to produce and contribute, and that's what these guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, let me take you to the bullpen. And Ben is good enough to come on with me every once in a while after the games as well on Monday and Tuesday nights here on WIP. So I think we've already discussed this, but it's worth repeating and going over again. I'll get real specific. A guy like Familia. Brought him in, paid him what you paid him, he's had the level of success elsewhere, but you're a couple years removed from it. You're not asking him to close games, but you planned on using him in high-leverage situations, and he hasn't lived up to what would have been fair expectations leading into this year. Shoot, I got Philly fans calling me and saying he should be DFA'd. He's killing us. They're not going to do that. How do you work around that? How do you get him back to a level where you can use him in a key spot, not necessarily closing, but not garbage time either, up by 10 runs, down by 10 runs? It's a tough task. How do the Phillies have to go about reestablishing a guy like Familia? Or have you seen enough where you say, all right, you made a mistake, you signed him, now you got to eat it, you got to move on?
Yeah, I think at this point you got to take the feelings out of it because of the amount of money that ownership has spent, the fourth highest payroll. And you said it, you're not asking him to close games, but Jody, you are asking him to throw strikes. And that's not just for him, but it's for the whole bullpen. You can't come out of the bullpen and throw balls. It can't happen. And some of these lineups are so good, especially these teams in the National League East. I mean, they have really legitimate lineups. And if you start walking guys, you're just asking for that Earl Weaver three-run homer that's going to come back and bite you in the tail. Yep. But you are asking these guys to throw strikes. I think maybe that is the time you bring in a Jeurys Familia. Is, maybe you're up by 6 or 7 runs. Come in, throw strikes, and kind of ease your way back into that role that we signed you to be in. Until then, I don't see any other way you can bring these guys into close ball games, because if they're not going to throw strikes, then they shouldn't be in the ball game.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem that they have. That's the challenge they have, is he looks at the bullpen and who can he rely on? Who are the guys? Who are the two or three names out there, Ben, that if you're a manager, you say, okay, it's a close game, it's the seventh inning, this is my guy?
Well, I think he kind of saw that yesterday in the first game. I think he saw that with Sir Anthony, with Brad Hand, who came in to close that first game. Guys that are going to throw strikes for the most part. I know Hand hasn't been great with inherited runners, but when he comes into a clean inning, he's been pretty darn good. Sir Anthony is on a whole different planet right now. He's a whole different level. What he's able to do with the baseball, with he's got that four-seamer that cuts a little bit, but he's throwing that two-seamer now that's exploding down and in on the knuckles of right-handed hitters. And he's got this wipeout slider right now. He's got these three pitches that are just dominant. And I think, is he going to be the closer by the end of the year? I think that's a good possibility. But I think the role that he is having right now, passing that torch along, when you come in that, we heard Larry Anderson say all the time, you come in that ninth inning, there's no net underneath you.
Yep.
And we don't know if Sir Anthony would be accustomed to that role or grow into that role. I guess we could always try it out. But until then, I think the Phillies are content to have him be that eighth inning guy. There's a couple guys out there that, they are the box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're going to get out of them on a given day. Yes, some of them have really good stuff, but unless you can throw that ball across that 17-inch plate, you're not going to be out there having a lot of success.
Ben Davis quoting Forrest Gump, let it be known.
I'll go non-Forrest Gump, or I don't mean to. If I go there, so be it. I apologize. Ben Davis, at what age in your playing career did you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm not as good as I was a year ago or 2 years ago? Was there a particular time, and do you know what age you were when you did that as a catcher in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was Major League Baseball. I think it was, it was my last couple years in the minor leagues. It was one of those things where my bat speed just kind of evaporated. It seemed like every time I went up to the home plate, it was 0-2 or 1-2. And I had trouble hitting balls in batting practice. You know, it just seemed like my bat speed decreased. It wasn't through a lack of effort. Lord knows I was the first one there every day, get my swings and get my reps. It just seems like no matter what I did, I just lost my bat speed. It's tough to deal with, but I think I was at the point in my life where I said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. At that time, I had three kids, not making any money. I was basically paying to play money because, you know, they're traveling around with me, mm-hmm. Making no money. And it was just one of those harsh realities. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to miss it, but I can't do it anymore. It was not an easy time in my life, but it's one of those decisions as a grown man you have to make.
How old were you?
I was, 29? Yeah.
I hope you put together the pieces as to why I'm asking the question, because the Phillies have a 30-year-old catcher with three more years to go in his contract who looks to be losing some edge to his game, that his bat speed isn't what it used to be. It's a good thing he's still got his regular speed because he keeps bouncing into double plays, and every once in a while he does beat it out and let a run score with the bases loaded. Any similarities to what you went through with what we're seeing these days with JT Realmuto?
I think it is in catching up to the fastball. You know, he was a guy that could always get to that fastball, and he could drive it line to line. He's just very late on them right now. He's hitting a ton of fly balls to shallow right field, pop-ups a second. He's just not getting the bat there on time. And he also seems to be out in front on breaking balls. So that's not a good spot to be. Believe me, I've been there. But that's the one thing the concern that I have with him right now is the fact that he's not getting to the fastballs. And that's not a good sign, because if you can't hit the fastball at the big league level, you're not going to be able to hit at all, because these guys have dominant fastballs. And you know, that's one of the reasons why you get through the minor leagues. You are able to hit fastballs and get to that level. And again, if you can't hit them at that level, it's going to be a long run. It's a good question, Jody. I think it still could be in there for him. I mean, he's got the raw athletic ability. I mean, you can see that. But it just seems like he's a tick off this – not a tick off, but more than a tick off this year, because he's just not getting these pitches. And he's getting good pitches hit. That's what I think is the most frustrating part that I can see out of him. And he's not a guy that shows a lot of frustration, but there's some pitches, a lot of pitches that he should have gotten to this year. They're just fouling off down the right field line because he's late.
Yeah, it is a concern. Ben, 13 out of 15 for the new manager. And, mm-hmm. The axiom in baseball mm-hmm. is that a manager can win or lose you five games a year and doesn't ultimately make that much difference. But clearly something is different. Is it attitude, strategy, luck? What do you see?
I think a little bit has to do with luck and strength of schedule, because when this whole thing started, think about it. They go in there and face the Angels, who were on that horrible losing streak, and then they end up firing Madden. And then they go into Milwaukee and play a horrendous team in Milwaukee. And I was just looking at the standings this morning. They're only a game back behind St. Louis, which I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Because that Milwaukee team I saw, the lineup was just a bad lineup. Then they come back home and they're playing better baseball, and they're having all these guys that we discussed early in the conversation, all these guys, different guys contribute. And I think it was like the perfect storm to having, winning 13-15 for Rob Thompson. From a strategic standpoint, I don't know how different it is. I mean, I think I am seeing a little bit of difference of letting guys kind of do it on their own instead of just pulling the plug. Lefty, I got to bring you out.
Yeah,
I got to bring it right in. I think it's letting guys be themselves a little bit more. I will say this. I'm seeing a lot more top stepping, and that's from all 26 guys in that lineup. They're on that top stop step, rooting on their teammates throughout the course of the ball game. I'm seeing a lot more smiles on the bench. And listen, if you're not having fun playing this game, and again, it is a game, and I know they're getting paid millions of dollars. But at the end of the day, it is a game, and you play the game because, A, you're good at it, and, B, because it's fun. If they're not having fun, there's no sense in playing it. I know you can say, well, I'd play it for that amount of millions of dollars. Yeah, you probably would. But if you're not having fun, what's the sense in doing it? These guys are having fun right now, and you can see it on their faces.
All right, Ben, last one for me, very player-specific again. I asked you about Familia, I asked you about JT Realmuto. I want to ask you about Reese Hoskins, because when the team was struggling and before Girardi was let go, people said, we got to trade Reese Hoskins. Get what we can for Reese Hoskins. We got to rebuild this thing. Reese Hoskins isn't a vital piece. And I would note that he's hitting 202 and say, what do you think you're going to get in exchange for Reese Hoskins if you traded him right now? Well, now he's carrying the team offensively, and that's Reese Hoskins. When he's hot, he's one of the best offensive players in baseball.
Correct.
When he's cold, he can kill you with his strikeout, double play, out after out after out. So we know what he is. Now would be, if you're just talking about getting the best in value in return for him, now would be the time that you'd want to do something like that. If you were in Dave Dombrowski's shoes, how would you look at Reese Hoskins right now?
Well, I think it would have to be a major haul back and, you know, and maybe adding a couple really legit bullpen pieces. Reese is, I think if you could manage the streakiness of Reese Hoskins, then obviously that would be the way to go. But like you said, when he's hot, I mean, he has carried this ball club at times over the last 3 weeks to a month. He's been outstanding. And I know people get on about his defensive woes and this and that. If he drives in more runs than he lets in from a defensive standpoint, that's fine by me. Is he going to win a Gold Glove? No, he's not. But if he's going to drive in more runs than he lets in, then I'm okay with it. If they were to move Reese Hoskins, which I don't think is going to happen because I think they're willing to deal with the streakiness, if they were to deal him, I think it would have to be for some legit bullpen pieces, maybe even a starting pitcher. I'm not sure. But I think that's the only way that Dave Dombrowski deals him right now.
Yeah, and it's tough to find a team that has more than one legitimate bullpen piece to move.
Correct.
I'm not moving for a guy who's going to give me 70 innings a year, which is typically what you get these days. So,
yeah.
Ben Davis, it is always a pleasure. When are you? When do we next get to see you on TV?
I fly out of here on the off day on Monday to head to Texas. So I got those two in Texas in the booth with Tom. And then we go to San Diego for four before returning home.
San Diego is going to be a really good test.
It will be a really big test. Yeah,
if he can be whatever, 19 out of 21 after San Diego, then we really got something cool.
Exactly right. Yeah.
All right, Ben, go enjoy all your kids, man.
Will do. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah, the challenge for trading Hoskins is nobody's going to get – listen, if you can get a legitimate starting pitcher, everybody's looking for that, right? I don't know who's going to give you that. And bullpen, there's just not that much depth. If you're a bad team, you probably don't have good bullpen to trade.
Right, and I give Dave Dombrowski and the other 29 general managers and all those who came before him this much of a break. It's the toughest thing in baseball to do.
Yeah.
Identify good relievers that are going to be good when they come to your team. You go out and get guys that you think are going to be upgrades, and they come in and they stink. You find a guy in the scrap heap, he comes in. You see what this kid Holmes is doing for the Yankees this year?
He's
become their closer.
Yes,
he was a middling guy. I saw him pitch plenty against the Phillies out of the Pirate bullpen.
Yeah.
He was absolutely nothing special. How the hell do you know he's going to become the best closer in baseball?
It's so year-to-year with relievers, which is why the one thing that I do believe in is not signing relievers to expensive long-term contracts.
Right.
Because they're all so year-to-year.
And
but
if you're trading a guy like Reese Hoskins in exchange for him, you can absolutely get crushed in the deal.
Bring in
a guy, and the guy can be well below average, and you're counting on him being the key piece of your bullpen. Yeah, good luck. Roll the dice.
Well, it was a signing, not a trade, but that's what Knebel is this year, right?
Yep.
They thought he'd come in, he'll be good, and hardly. Let's get Carl in Bucks County up here. Wants to talk about Hoskins. Hey, Carl.
Amazing coincidence.
There you go.
Let me preface everything by saying it's wonderful to hear you guys together again. Sadly, I had to take the loss of Ray, and I hope he's enjoying retirement.
Ray retires in an odd way, so he retires, and now all he does is work. So this will give me one last chance to plug it. He is going to be signing and selling books today at Surfside Park in Avalon. Ray is driving from Center City to Avalon just to do this library book signing at 6 o'clock. So there you go.
He'll be the guy on the beach with long pants, khakis, and a button down long sleeve shirt.
That's the one. Okay. You got it.
I'll see you on his blanket.
Okay.
Nothing personal about Reese Hoskins. I'm looking at a ball player. First of all, he cannot field his position, which frustrates me. That error the other night on that throw, this kid plants his foot on first base as soon as he hears the ball, go off the bat, and he anchors there no matter where the hell the ball is thrown. Teach him how to move his feet and shift his positioning. Number two, you're not going to get a hotter Reese Hoskins until probably mid-August, because that's the way this kid rolls. He's good for 10, 15 home runs on the beginning of the season, and a little bit more than that maybe towards the middle and end of the season, and he gets a soft 40. And while you say that, you know, they're functioning, and I hate to give that up, he's not going to win you a pennant. He's not that type of a slugger. They don't fear facing Reese Hoskins, because you can pitch to Reese Hoskins. You'll strike him out on the same pitch a million times. And that's my biggest complaint about him. And the Phillies going into this season, I don't know the new players, but up until then, they seem to get struck out on the same pitch all the time. Hey,
I appreciate your input. I don't have a whole lot to argue with you about, but you do realize you don't sound like a guy who's enjoyed the last 15 games.
Has he been on vacation the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I was going to you're a bit of a Debbie Downer considering what's going on these days.
Well, because it's so delicious when it happens, and you know it's not maintainable.
All right. We got to go. I appreciate your input. I'm late for a break. I wanted to get you in before that. Jody, all those good vibes I had after Ben Davis eroded with that call.
And Ben is not a pom-pom waving guy.
No.
There are guys like that. He's not one of them. He'll tell you what he sees. But, yeah, Ben paid close attention the last 2 weeks. Apparently the caller has been out of the country. And I hope he had a great time and didn't have any problems getting back in.
Thinks it's a mirage. 215-592-9494. We are here until 1 o'clock. Go Birds Radio coming up at that point, Kyle. And, Kyle, today, because we've covered a lot, and we always like to get in what we forgot to talk about, you have an especially great one of those coming up at the end of the show, right?
I sure do.
Good. I want to plug that. There you
nice.
Go. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. 215-592-9494, Jody McDowell, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. Jody, you got any big plans for the rest of the day? Any do anything this weekend that's going to be fun? You probably work in 18 different jobs today, aren't you? I don't hear Jody. Okay, well, in lieu of that, is he still connected?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hey, sorry about that.
That's all right. That's okay. I will ask you, do you have any plans for the rest of the day? Anything fun this weekend, or are you working your 62
I'm working.
Different jobs?
I work on the weekends. Some people take weekends off, like 90% of the working world. I got a CBS show tonight, one tomorrow night as well, and a massive show with you tomorrow.
Yeah, you and I have 90 minutes tomorrow. there you go. Early Phillies game, noon in Washington. They want to get that one out of the way for all those suffering Nationals fans. So, yeah, you and I are on from 10 to 11:30. Do you – and I know everything is different, right? And you have done local and national shows for decades.
Correct.
So it's probably not – I may be asking you, like, who's – you know, asking somebody who's their favorite child. Do you have a preference over all these years of doing local or national?
It's funny because I now enjoy the mix. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time when I was only doing local. There was a period of time when I was only doing national. And now I'm getting a chance to do both. And it's just that much more fun. Now you got to remember what you're doing every time you sit down, that you have a different way of doing the show. You have a different way of emphasizing different things. I love doing both. It is kind of like, which is your favorite child? You can't win the argument one way or the other. But I really do enjoy doing both.
I got to think national is tough only because, I mean, I can immerse myself in the four teams here and feel like I really know what is going on, right? Although we just had a guy on Twitter who said neither you nor I know anything about hockey, so we shouldn't even be talking about it. But he's a little more excited about the hiring than we are. I only played it and coached it and covered it and whatever, but that's fine. He can certainly have that opinion. But with doing national stuff, and I remember working with you all those years back, I was always amazed that you could tell me, you know, who was the backup third baseman on the Seattle Mariners and who was the second line right winger on the Winnipeg Jets. And you just, you had an amazing ability, amazing retention and knowledge of that stuff. But doing national stuff, I mean, somebody's gonna bring up, like, you know, what do you think of the Sacramento Kings versus the Houston Rockets? And, like, I don't know.
I got a general enough knowledge to be able to carry on that conversation. Now, it takes work. You got to put in the time and effort. I spend too much time in front of my computer. At some point, like you, I think I'm going to get carpal tunnel. Haven't yet. I'm not actually a writer, but I spend so much time going from website to website to website to website that, yes, to be able to carry on a conversation on a national level, you got to do a lot of homework, and I willingly do so. But you know enough. I know enough. If somebody wants to get really uber specific about the Vancouver Canucks, about their fourth line center being a major detriment to the team, all right, yeah, I'm probably fudging that one. But for the news breaking topics and the big stories and the like, we talk a little bit about Deshaun Watson here in Philadelphia, because the Eagles did legitimately try and acquire him, so he'll come up every once in a while here. Oh no, everybody talking about him on a national level.
Yeah, that, well, sure.
That's most of what the national shows are like. The very specific, minute, detailed conversation about a specific team you only get once every blue moon.
Yeah, and thank God the Eagles didn't get him, because I'm guessing he's going to get a long suspension.
The stuff that's coming out that continues that, and what's really bad is, and I had John McClain on one of my shows, the longtime NFL Houston writer, Hall of Fame guy from Houston. He didn't even know that at some point, I think the Texans were complicit, that he had a security guy who was giving him NDAs for his masseuses to fill out ahead of time. Why is that even necessary?
Yeah, I saw
and,
that.
And how do you come up with the fact that, other than he told you, yeah, someone's thinking about outing me on Twitter or whatever, and your response is, here is an NDA, get him to sign it ahead of time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
That looks really bad. And the contract that the Browns signed him to is also seems complicit, because if he gets suspended the first year, he loses very little pay. It's all backloaded and guaranteed, and the Browns, I think, are going to end up looking real bad in this thing. Anyway. All right. I wanted to discuss one thing. We talked earlier, Pro Football Focus. You're not a huge fan of it. I like it less than you, but every once in a while they do things that I do find interesting and sometimes good. They did a ranking of the 32 offensive lines in the NFL. The Eagles ranked first. I don't think that's anybody really has a big problem with that, even if you're not an Eagles fan, right? Their offensive line is terrific.
Here's the reason why they're first. If you ask me who's got the best starting five in the National Football League on the offensive line, I would say Philadelphia Eagles. If you ask me who's got the best depth on the offensive line, I would say the Eagles. Not only are they very good across the board with their five starters, and oh, by the way, I think Isaac Seumalo is going to start right tackle. There are some who are saying that
right
Driscoll
guard.
Did a good, what I say, tackle? I
meant right guard. Yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. Driscoll did well filling in there last year. Isaac's going to start. The offensive line coach, who, oh, by the way, is the closest thing to an assistant coach you're going to find on the Eagles right now, loves him. And he has shown the ability to be flexible and move from side to side, move from guard to tackle and center and everything else. I think he's unquestioned. If he's healthy, he's going to be their starting right guard. But they got great depth as well.
Yeah.
Their youngsters are good. And they have, because of injuries, had to force feed these guys into the lineup. I expect Nate Herbig to go up and start for the Jets, 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 Jets. Prior, who couldn't make the Eagles roster, is starting for Indianapolis. It just tells you how good they are and how good Stoutland is as an offensive line coach.
I agree. And they got a first-rounder who can't crack the lineup, which I don't know if that speaks to Dillard or Mailata or whatever, but yes. But so now, in addition to that, The Athletic this week did its ranking of offensive skill players of the 32 teams, and not quarterback, but they ranked three receivers, an X, a Z, and a slot, theoretically, a tight end, and a running back, okay? For each of the 32 teams, the team that they put the best is the Bengals, which, you know what? not bad. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst, and Joe Mixon. That's pretty good.
Right.
Okay. They have the Dolphins second. Well, I guess they got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, so yeah, why not? Gesicki's good. Mostert is their running back these days. The Raiders third. Remember, they got Devontae Adams, and they got Darren Waller. They have the Niners four and the Eagles five. Fifth best skill position set in the NFL. And I believe they're second in the NFC in this, behind only San Francisco. Yeah, second in the NFC. So the offensive line is great. The skill position players are well above average. You talked earlier about how excited you were about the defense, which means it all rests on, well, two things, Jody. The quarterback and the coach.
Yes, and oh, by the way, if you're specifically talking about the offense, we found out the coach isn't as involved as we were led to believe,
yeah,
or we thought was the case, that
yeah,
Shane Steichen took over play calling mid-season last year and is going to be the play caller this year, which I'm okay with. Usually you wouldn't think that with a second-year coach. He's already given up the responsibilities of play calling. Well, he wasn't really a play caller when he came in.
Mm-hmm.
The Indianapolis Colts head coach, we know quite well, was the guy who was calling plays when he was there. So they hired him because they just thought he was a good coach, period, and that he was a motivator and that the players would respond to him. So the fact that he has already given up that responsibility, some people have an issue with. I don't. Now, I don't know how good Shane Steichen is. I didn't put him through that same microscope that you would if you knew he was calling the plays, but we can look back in 2020 hindsight. Yeah, I'm going to pay very close attention to Shane Steichen this year, but I'm not put off by the fact that as of right now, it doesn't look like Sirianni is going to be calling the plays.
Yeah, I don't care who calls him as long as it works. And Sirianni gave it up. He didn't say what week it was, but it sounded like it was shortly before midseason. And the Eagles' offense was much better in the second half of the season than it was in the first. Now, you can also say they had easier opponents, but they changed the focus of it, and they began running the ball. You know, the low point was that game against Dallas where they gave it to the running back four times, something like that, ridiculous. And they never got anything going, and then they changed it, and it worked. So if it's Steichen and it works, I don't care who it is. If the head coach thinks he wants to be more involved in kind of looking at what's happening on the field and talking to the refs and talking to his special teams coordinator and doing all of those things, I don't really care how they administrate it as long as it works, and I thought it worked. And these rankings give you a lot of optimism for the season. Again, it's Jalen Hurts, or I don't want to say it's Jalen Hurts' rise or fall, but so much of it rides on Jalen Hurts' ability to take a big step up this season. And I can't say I'm confident or pessimistic with Hurts. I just want to see it.
Right, and we're all going to be watching it. Don't bother watching the preseason because he's not going to play there.
No.
He didn't last year. He's not going to this year. Until week one against the Lions, we're all going to have our opinions on what Jalen Hurts can be, will be, where the improvement's going to come, and then we're going to actually have to wait and watch it for ourselves to find out if it's actually going to transpire.
Yeah, can I predict August for us? Thursday night, so we're going to come on in a weekend in August, you and I, and Carson Strong is going to have like some great Thursday night preseason game, and we will be fielding calls about this is the guy who should be starting.
It's a foregone conclusion, Mac. Of course it's going to happen that way. Not if Gardner Minshew has anything to say about it, but someone will go in reference to, we need to go in another direction at quarterback.
Oh, yeah, and people love the backups. They always, there's no better job than being a backup quarterback. It's you get paid a lot of money, you don't get your uniform, you don't get hurt, and the public tends to love you. It's a good gig.
Yeah, and in case there's a fight that breaks out on the sideline, you got the clipboard, so you also have a weapon that you can use to defend yourself.
There you go. 215-592-9494. We have one more segment. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack. Now we'll find out what we forgot to talk about. And there was a lot this week that would be fun to squeeze in here on 94 WIP. And it is time for me to tell you about United Tire. Look, before you head out on that summer road trip, head into United Tire. Get those tires checked and save big all summer long with great deals on BF Goodrich and Michelin. It's the perfect time to save on safety and to get your vehicle ready for fun summer adventures with the family. Start your summer off right. Make sure those tires are ready for drives down to shore. Before those summer road trips are in your rearview mirror, get to United Tire. Remember, don't drive alone. Drive United. He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Macnow. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Jody and I will, as we said, be back again tomorrow for a quick romp through the park, a little 90-minute show leading up to Phillies Nationals. And Jody, every Sunday we do our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, and I will just preview it by saying I actually think today is the end. No, yesterday was the anniversary of something we will discuss tomorrow, which is one of the bleakest, blackest days in Philadelphia sports history. Anyway, that's the tease. All right, let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what did we forget to talk about today.
Yeah, well, I want to start this off on a little happy note. I'm going to give you a little. The Braves lost a game, guys. Oh, my God. After what, like 13 or 14 in a row? Losing 1-0 to the Cubs yesterday. So the Phillies finally were able to gain a game on the Atlanta Braves.
Game and a half.
That's right.
They won 2 yesterday.
Woo! It is amazing. I don't know that it's ever happened in baseball. The team wins 13 out of 15 games and actually loses ground. You can't foresee something like that. But
only the Phillies.
Yeah, well, listen, and the Mets have had such a good season. I think we all agree. The Phillies are playing for the wild card, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't look like they're going to catch up to the Mets, and the Braves look like they might catch up to the Mets. So,
right, and it'll take, Joe, you figure 87 wins for the wild card?
87 for the third and final one, yes. I think you're going to win. Can 86 get it done? Maybe not 87. I'd feel more comfortable with.
All right. So you just want to get in the tournament, right?
Right. And I certainly believe this team is capable of doing. I believed it before the season, and the way they're playing right now, they're not going to win 13 out of their next 15 going forward from here. But do I think they can end up with that kind of record? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yep. Yeah. They definitely need to keep piling on these series wins because it's kind of a logjam there at the bottom of the standings there for that third wild card. Teams like the Brewers, even the Braves, Giants, you know, Padres, Dodgers, whoever's going to be left out of that division is going to be fighting for that spot too. So definitely going to be tough to get into toward the end of the season there. So
agreed.
Yes.
Got to just keep playing the way they're playing. And the one thing that the Phillies had a tough time doing in recent years was beating bad teams. We talked about that last week. They went out and had a great week against the Marlins, who are not terrible, but they always have problems with the Marlins. And so far with Washington, 2 games to go, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
All right.
Beating the Marlins was beating the Marlins is a big step forward. Where you'll really know if they're getting it together is if I want to see them take on the Braves in a couple weeks, see how they fare against in that series. So
agree.
That'll be good. Okay. Stanley Cup Finals, fellas. You guys been watching any of that? Game one the other night, overtime. This is such a good matchup in terms of like an actual hockey matchup. The offensive firepower, the Colorado Avalanche versus Vasilevsky, who I think is just a complete stud. It's a great series, guys.
Jody, you go first.
Is that Maker guy available? I think he'd be a Tortorella player. Yeah. If they could get him, he could improve their defense pretty quickly.
Bobby Brink instead of him, huh?
Do you know who Al Morgani compared him to the other day?
Bobby Orr, didn't he?
Fell off my chair.
Yeah.
First of all, Al being a Boston guy. Yeah. Second of all, Bobby Orr, you're too young to have seen Bobby Orr. Jody, I don't even know if you saw Bobby Orr.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was young, and not the beginning of his career. I saw the later stages of Bobby Orr, which, by the way,
post-knee surgeries.
Yeah, he was not the same player, but you could just tell, even though he wasn't getting the kind of results that he did, just so smart, always in the right space on the ice and making the right pass, even though he was a shadow of his former self, he was still phenomenal.
Well, I saw Bobby Orr in his prime, as obviously did Al, growing up in Boston. And for Al to compare anybody to Bobby Orr was amazing to me. Bottom line is, listen, I'm excited about Tortorella coming to Philadelphia. We'll see how it works out. So much more of it is on the general manager than the coach. But this is going to be fun and exciting. You look at what you see in the Cup Finals and in the series leading up to the Cup Finals. You know, the Final Four, the semis, even before that. it's a whole different realm of hockey they're playing now than what we've seen in this city, and hopefully the Flyers will be able to get there.
Yeah, and that's a soon-to-be-inducted Hockey Hall of Famer, Al Morgani. So
that's
his,
true.
His opinion's not to be taken lightly on that, right?
No, carries more weight than it did 5 days ago.
Yes. All right, let's pivot over to we're not quite a soccer city, guys, but maybe that could all change 4 years from now as Philadelphia has won the bid as a host city for the 2026 World Cup. That adds a little extra juice to the World Cup for you guys, does it?
I think people know I don't care a whit about soccer, and no. I don't mean that in a hostile way. I don't watch it. I don't enjoy it, but I am a fan of big events, and I'm a fan of our area, of Philadelphia and the metropolitan area. And I think when you get big world events, this one specifically the World Cup, conventions, you know, the Pope visiting, all of those things, it helps show you as a world-class city. So getting the World Cup to me was a big deal. And for people who love soccer, it's going to be great. Jode?
Will either Jaquiski Tartt, recently signed Eagle, or Jamie Tartt be participating?
Jamie Tartt. Oh, my God. What a great pull by you. That was so great.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's impressive.
That is great. For people who don't know, tell them what that is.
That would be a Ted Lasso reference.
Yes.
I like Glenn. I don't think I'm as much a soccer detractor as Glenn is, but
yeah,
I'm not
I don't
a
do
big
that
fan
anymore.
Of any stretch of the imagination. Great that it's coming here to the U.S. Here's the only question I have. It's 2026, right?
Yeah.
And they usually have it in sometime in June or July. This year they're doing it late because it's in Qatar and the heat would be too much. So it's not coming down till into the fall. But I'm assuming they're looking to come back to summer months for 2026. We got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming in.
Oh, we're going to have everything. Yeah.
In 2026.
Well, because it's the 250th anniversary of the country. So for people who remember the bicentennial in 76, everything was here. I think all four, well, not the football All-Star game, but I think NBA All-Star game, NHL All-Star game, MLB All-Star game were all here as well as a bunch of stuff. So you worried about them conflicting in time?
Conflicting in traffic, conflicting in a lot of things.
Yeah, that's what I'm most looking
forward to.
It
may make it very difficult to get around Philadelphia at that point.
It may. I don't know how much it overlaps, but I love that, and I think we're going to get a bunch of other stuff as well, and I think it's terrific. I can't wait for that. We're still 4 years away, but I hope to be here doing it.
You and I both.
All right, let me just give you one more thing here before we appropriately pivot over to Go Birds Radio with Jimmy and Elliot. The Eagles had just about everyone up in arms the other day as they made what they probably thought was a minor change, minor tweak, but the reaction was far from that. They now have a new word marking.
I bet you and I and Jody were not familiar with the phrase word mark.
I was not until it's a new term that was introduced to me the other day when they came out. Just seems unnecessary to me. What do you guys think?
I posted on my Twitter feed right after they did it, the old word mark, which is really a logo, whatever. It's the design of the print that they use, and the new one, and asked people which they preferred. And not surprisingly, 76% of people took the old one, mostly because people hate change. And I feel for everybody who has that Eagles word mark tattooed on themselves, but I guess it will eventually become a classic.
Well, yeah. You know what? That's kind of the Eagles word marking of my era, right? That's going to be really nostalgic in about 20 years from now, from McNabb days to the Super Bowl squad. That's my era of Eagles football.
Right, and nobody likes change. Again, I like the one that when I moved to town was the Buddy Ryan era with the bird holding the football and its talons and the Kelly Green. And so the way I feel about Kelly Green is the way you're going to feel about this one and the way the next 25 years from now, everybody's kids are going to feel about the one they did now. I'll just say two things about the one they did now. It looks to me a lot like what Washington did with its new one, and I don't want to be anything like Washington, Jody.
Come on. Can we get serious here for a minute? It's a money grab. You know it's a money grab. I know it's a money grab. The Eagles know it's a money grab. That's why they change, not because they actually believe, oh, it's so much better, so much sharper. No, it's different.
And different is good because you sell more memorabilia. You sell more T-shirts and magnets for the refrigerator and cups and glasses and everything else. You got to have, there's a percentage of the fan base out there that has to have the newest, the latest, the greatest. It is what it is. It's a way to generate revenues and more power to them because, believe it or not, football is a business.
So all the tattoo parlors are happy because now everybody's going to want the new work.
And there'll be new people coming in. And, oh, by the way, Glenn, I'm glad to acknowledge that neither one of us is too old to learn. Word marking and sports washing is the other one.
Sports washing, yes. Well, okay.
To my vocabulary that I've had to learn and add over the last couple of months.
There you go, with the new golf thing. All right, so coming up, James and Ellie, is that what we have there?
Correct.
A little Go Birds Radio. Stay tuned for them. Jody, you and I tomorrow morning at 10. I look forward to it. Terrific job there. Kyle, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day right here on 94 WIP. Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Macnow. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Jody and I will, as we said, be back again tomorrow for a quick romp through the park, a little 90-minute show leading up to Phillies Nationals. And, Jody, every Sunday we do our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, and I will just preview it by saying I actually think yesterday was the anniversary of something we will discuss tomorrow, which is one of the bleakest, blackest days in Philadelphia sports history. Anyway, that's the tease. All right, let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what did we forget to talk about today.
Yeah, well, I want to start this off on a little happy note. I'm going to give you a little, the Braves lost a game, guys. Oh, my God. So after what, like 13 or 14 in a row? Losing 1-0 to the Cubs yesterday. So the Phillies finally were able to gain a game on the Atlanta Braves.
Game and a half.
That's right.
They won 2 yesterday.
Woo! It is amazing. I don't know that it's ever happened in baseball. The team wins 13 out of 15 games and actually loses ground. You can't foresee something like that. But
only the Phils.
Yeah, well, listen, and the Mets have had such a good season. I think we all agree. The Phils are playing for the wild card, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't look like they're going to catch up to the Mets, and the Braves look like they might catch up to the Mets. So
right, and it'll take, Joe, you figure 87 wins for the wild card?
87 for the third and final one, yes. I think you're going to win. Can 86 get it done? Maybe, maybe not 87. I'd feel more comfortable with.
All right. So you want to get in the tournament, right?
Right. And I certainly believe this team is capable of doing. I believed it before the season, and the way they're playing right now, they're not going to win 13 out of their next 15 going forward from here. But do I think they can end up with that kind of record? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yep. Yeah, they definitely need to keep piling on these series wins because it's kind of a logjam there at the bottom of the standings there for that third wild card. Teams like the Brewers, even the Braves, Giants, you know, Padres, Dodgers, whoever's going to be left out of that division is going to be fighting for that spot too. So definitely going to be tough to get into toward the end of the season there. So
agreed.
Yes.
Got to just keep playing the way they're playing. And the one thing that the Phillies had a tough time doing in recent years was beating bad teams. We talked about that last week. They went out and had a great week against the Marlins, who are not terrible, but they always have problems with the Marlins. And so far with Washington, 2 games to go, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
All right.
Beating the Marlins is a big step forward. Where you'll really know if they're getting it together is if I want to see them take on the Braves in a couple weeks, see how they fare against in that series. So
agree.
That'll be good. Okay. Stanley Cup Finals, fellas. You guys been watching any of that? Game one the other night, overtime. This is such a good matchup in terms of like an actual hockey matchup. The offensive firepower, the Colorado Avalanche versus Vasilevsky, who I think is just a complete stud. It's a great series, guys.
Jody, you go first.
Is that Maker guy available? I think he'd be a Tortorella player.
Yeah.
If they could get him, he could improve their defense pretty quickly.
Bobby Brink instead of him, huh?
Cam York, maybe? Who Al Morgani compared him to the other day?
Bobby Orr, didn't he?
Fell off my chair.
Yeah.
First of all, Al being a Boston guy.
Yeah.
Second of all, Bobby Orr, you're too young to have seen Bobby Orr. Jody, I don't even know if you saw Bobby Orr.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was young and Not the beginning of his career. I saw the later stages of Bobby Orr, which, by the way,
post-knee surgeries.
Yeah, he was not the same player, but you could just tell, even though he wasn't getting the kind of results that he did, just so smart, always in the right space on the ice and making the right pass, even though he was a shadow of his former self, he was still phenomenal.
Well, I saw Bobby Orr in his prime, as obviously did Al, growing up in Boston. And for Al to compare anybody to Bobby Orr was amazing to me. Bottom line is, listen, I'm excited about Tortorella coming to Philadelphia. We'll see how it works out. So much more of it is on the general manager than the coach, but this is going to be fun and exciting. You look at what you see in the Cup Finals and in the series leading up to the Cup Finals, you know, the Final Four, the semis, even before that, it's a whole different realm of hockey they're playing now than what we've seen in this city, and hopefully the Flyers will be able to get there.
Yeah, and that's a soon-to-be-inducted Hockey Hall of Famer, Al Morgani. So
that's
his opinion's not to be taken lightly on that, right?
No, carries more weight than it did 5 days ago.
Yes. All right, let's pivot over to the – we're not quite a soccer city, guys, but maybe that could all change 4 years from now as Philadelphia has won the bid as a host city for the 2026 World Cup. That adds a little extra juice to the World Cup for you guys, does it?
I think people know I don't care a whit about soccer, and no. I don't mean that in a hostile way. I don't watch it. I don't enjoy it, but I am a fan of big events, and I'm a fan of our area, of Philadelphia and the metropolitan area. And I think when you get big world events, this one specifically the World Cup, conventions, you know, the Pope visiting, all of those things, it helps show you as a world-class city. So getting the World Cup to me was a big deal. And for people who love soccer, it's going to be great. Jode?
Will either Jaquiski Tartt, recently signed Eagle, or Jamie Tartt be participating?
Jamie Tartt? Oh, my God, what a great pull by you. That was so great.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's impressive.
That is great. For people who don't know, tell them what that is.
That would be a Ted Lasso reference.
Yes.
I like Glenn. I'm not a big I don't think I'm as much a soccer detractor as Glenn is, but
yeah,
I'm not
I don't
a
do
big
that
fan
anymore.
Of any stretch of the imagination. Great that it's coming here to the U.S. Here's the only question I have. It's 2026, right?
Yeah.
And they usually have it in sometime in June or July. This year they're doing it late because it's in Qatar and the heat would be too much. So it's not coming down till into the fall. But I'm assuming they're looking to come back to summer months for 2026. We got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming in.
Oh, we're going to have everything. Yeah.
In 2026.
Well, because it's the 250th anniversary of the country. So for people who remember the bicentennial in 76, everything was here. I think all four, well, not the football All-Star game, but I think NBA All-Star game, NHL All-Star game, MLB All-Star game were all here as well as a bunch of stuff. So you worried about them conflicting in time?
Conflicting in time, conflicting in traffic, conflicting in a lot of things.
Yeah, that's what I'm most looking
forward to. It may make it very difficult to get around Philadelphia at that point.
It may. I don't know how much it overlaps, but I love that, and I think we're going to get a bunch of other stuff as well, and I think it's terrific. I can't wait for that. We're still 4 years away, but I hope to be here doing it.
You and I both.
All right, let me just give you one more thing here before we appropriately pivot over to Go Birds Radio with Jimmy and Elliot. The Eagles had just about everyone up in arms the other day as they made what they probably thought was a minor change, minor tweak, but the reaction was far from that. They now have a new word marking.
I bet you and I and Jody were not familiar with the phrase word marking.
I was not until, actually, it's a new term that was introduced to me the other day when they came out. It just seems unnecessary to me. What do you guys think?
I posted on my Twitter feed right after they did it, the old word mark, which is really a logo, whatever. It's the design of the print that they use, and the new one, and asked people which they preferred. And not surprisingly, 76% of people took the old one. mostly because people hate change. And I feel for everybody who has that Eagles word mark tattooed on themselves. But I guess it will eventually become a classic.
Well, yeah. You know what? That's kind of the Eagles word marking of, I'm using the word word marking, of my era, right? That's going to be really nostalgic in about 20 years from now, from right. McNabb days to the Super Bowl squad. That's mm-hmm. my era of Eagles football.
Right, and nobody likes change. Again, I like the one that when I moved to town was the Buddy Ryan era with the bird holding the football in its talons and the Kelly Green. And so the way I feel about Kelly Green is the way you're going to feel about this one and the way the next 25 years from now, everybody's kids are going to feel about the one they did now. I'll just say two things about the one they did now. It looks to me a lot like what Washington did with its new one, and I don't want to be anything like Washington, Jody.
Come on. Can we get serious here for a minute? It's a money grab. You know it's a money grab. I know it's a money grab. The Eagles know it's a money grab. That's why they change, not because they actually believe, oh, it's so much better, so much sharper. No, it's different. And different is good because you sell more memorabilia. You sell more T-shirts and magnets for the refrigerator and cups and glasses and everything else. You got to have, there's a percentage of the fan base out there that has to have the newest, the latest, the greatest. It is what it is. It's a way to generate revenues and more power to them because, believe it or not, football is a business.
So all the tattoo parlors are happy because now everybody's going to want the new work.
And there'll be new people coming in. And, oh, by the way, Glenn, I'm glad to acknowledge that neither one of us is too old to learn. Word marking and sports washing is the other one.
Sports wash, yes. Well, we can.
New
we can,
to my vocabulary that I've had to learn and add over the last couple of months.
There you go, with the new golf thing. All right, so coming up, James and Ellie, is that what we have there?
Correct.
A little Go Birds Radio. Stay tuned for them. Jody, you and I tomorrow morning at 10. I look forward to it. Terrific job there. Kyle, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day right here on 94 WIP.